Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. I've been excited for some time to speak to you, and it's been on my heart because the Lord has been working in my life, and it's something I couldn't keep to myself. And when I kind of started to prepare a sermon, and then we had gone to this No Excuses Project, and they had talking about that. And I said, well, I'd rather just speak about what's going on in my life right now. And so I'm going to be giving you a little bit of testimony. But I, of course, want to pray first. And so, Lord, I just call on you, Lord, that you fill my heart, fill my mind, and speak through me. And your will be done. Amen. Well, so we heard the scripture, the Father corrects him whom he loves. Well, do we all want to be loved by the Father? Then we need to pray to him and say, correct me, Lord. Find that area in my life where I need to give it up, where I need to give it to you, Lord. And we all have those places, and that's a prayer that I've been doing lately, and it is so successful, because God is our Father, and he does love you, and he will be gentle in correcting you. So the Sabbath is a blessing. I wrote down a scripture, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Also, Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people and not the people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. Mark 2:27. That's the New Living Testament version. So I also have the New International Version, which is, then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And this will come into why I brought this up kind of during my testimony. So, sorry to say that I'm a sinner. And I've sinned in my life. And, you know, some sins we carry throughout our life for a long time. And one of those for me has been drinking alcohol. And, you know, I think the first time I drank was when I was a sophomore in high school. And then it just never left. It was just always something that was kind of part of my life. I was in the Army for 12 years, Army National Guard, but anyways, I deployed with them, and it's kind of a big part of the Army culture, and so I'd been drinking, and being a Christian, and, you know, I would just say within, it started to perpetually kind of get worse after COVID. You know, I could go 100 days straight drinking every single day, and still coming to Sabbath, you know. Eventually, you know, I had promised my wife that when she was pregnant that I wouldn't drink during her pregnancy. And when I did that for our oldest, Everly, I actually kept that promise, and this time I didn't, and I'm sorry, honey, and I kept drinking until I just basically spiraled out of control, and I had a best friend that was my neighbor, and I would go to his house, and I would drink, and I was over there one night, and I drank so much, I don't even remember what happened, but apparently some sort of conflict between him and I that we don't even speak today. And he called the cops on me, and I was arrested. And turns out after the fact that I wasn't arrested, I was detained, and that I wasn't really charged with anything. So I had to do some community service. But that was over a year ago, and about a year and a half ago. And after that event, I had to go to my wife again and say, I promise I won't drink, you know. And I've made that promise before and broken it. But this time it really needed to be true. And so I haven't drank for over about a year and a half. And and that's just not all of it, you know. So during that time, I've been running a business for about 20 years with my father. It's a construction company, and we had about 12 employees at the time, maybe around 10 employees, you know, doing several million dollars worth of remodel work. And my job is to do all the sales and to do all of these things. And because I was drinking, I would, you know, I thought everything was going great. I thought business is great. I can, in fact, I'm in a position where I can quit work at 3 and start drinking with my friends. I made business friends. And so a lot of those people start drinking at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or sometimes on Friday you go to lunch and you start drinking then, and it just kind of continues. So after I was arrested was kind of like all of a sudden everything kind of started spiraling out of control. My there was a major contract that I had put a bid in that had gotten accepted, and that I was kind of counting on, and I was holding employees for, and my payroll every 2 weeks was about $30,000, and this multi-million dollar, it was a $5 million project that I got an accepted bid, all of a sudden just disappeared. We weren't going to have it, and so I needed to cut employees. I needed to, all of a sudden I couldn't pay my vendors. Multiple projects, the customers, you know, after 20 years of business and doing, never having these issues, you know, my customers wouldn't pay their final bill. And plus, there was a news article, and, you know, this is a small town, you know, or small community in Humboldt County, and I felt really, really ashamed, was really going through a tough time. So my business continued. I had to lay off a bunch of people, and I couldn't pay my vendors, and I was several hundred thousand dollars in debt, and no real way out of it. And I just had to accept that. It's like, well, I created this, and I'm just going to have to go through the steps of what that means. I mean, I had to look into bankruptcy. I had to meet with my dad and his wife and you know, hear them ask me, like, hey, what happened? What where did the money go? You know, all these things. And it was just a really tough emotional time that I just had to continue to go through. Eventually, I sold. We had to sold. My dad and I sold the property that we owned. I had saved. You know, I had a little bit of stocks and stuff. I had to sell all those. I had gold and silver that I had collected over the years that I had to sell. I had to not take any money from the company anymore, just to be able to keep paying the minimum amount of guys to keep finishing the projects we already had obligated ourselves to. And we're talking like here's payroll, it's going to be $10,000 and I've got $6,000 in the bank. How am I going to make the difference to do that? You know, where is the money going to come from? Okay, I can sell this and put enough money in the bank to make it another 2 weeks. You know, that was kind of living like that for almost like a year. I mean, just constant like that. And one night I was laying in bed praying. I just thought of that scripture. The Lord corrects whom he loves. And I thought, wow, Lord, you know, thank you. You know, thank you for loving me. And I really felt loved. And I thought, wow. And then I remembered a scripture. About being a child of God. You know, and let me see. That's when I realized I am a child of God. And you are a child of God. I'm going to read Romans 8:14-17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his sufferings. So, it's important that I prayed that prayer and recognized that, being a child of God. And then a week goes by and I get an email. And it's from this contract that I had, the $5 million one. And they say, hey, they would like to meet. And I thought, I'd been calling and emailing with no response for 6 months. And I go, and I say, of course, yeah, let's meet. And apparently, there's still this potential project. And so I really didn't put much faith into getting it. You know, because when someone doesn't call you and tells you you're going to, you know, you just, it's hard to believe. And it was almost too good to believe. I mean, even when I would tell my dad about it, he's like, yeah, okay, you keep working on that. You know, long story short, you know, we did get that project. I'm going to back up slightly before that and just kind of tell you where my state of mind was. My wife and I got to celebrate our 10-year anniversary, and this is something my wife has said. I want to go to Disney Alani for our 10-year anniversary. She must have said that year one of our marriage. You know, so it's a big deal, and I always thought, of course, I'll be able to afford it when we get there. No problem. Well, here it is, you know, I'm basically on the verge of bankruptcy. You know, I've sold everything I had, but I did make sure out of this money I had sold my gold and silver that I had enough just to pay for that. And so we go, but it's a miserable, I mean, it was a good time to be with my family, but in my heart, I knew all the weight that was on me during that time. And so much so, you know, I want to say everything had gone through my mind of how to get out of this, including just, you know, I'd panicked and go to my wife and I'd say, we got to sell everything, we got to move away. I just didn't want to be here around people who, I was a failure. By all means, I was a failure. Had spent 20 years working on something, had let down my dad, who's now 60. How's he going to retire? You know, thought of like, well, you know, I'm going to do something else. Anyways, Even so much so, you know, I'd thought about, what if I just threw myself off of this, you know, three stories up on this, you know. And not a serious thought, but more just like, yeah, you could do that, but you're not going to do that. I have a family, and in fact, I am blessed. I have four kids and a wife that I love. You know, that scripture, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor with the Lord. Amen. So, God really does bless us beyond what we can imagine. So now, here I am, I'm thinking that during my anniversary, and then less than a month later, I've started this big contract, I've paid off my debts, and now financially I'm restored. My wife and I would think, she can speak for herself, but for me, I'm more in love with her than I've ever been. Yes. If I am a child of God, I don't want to upset the Father. So, the scripture, fear of the Lord leads to life, bringing security and protection from harm. That's what gets me to the Sabbath scripture is, I want to, now that I feel God's love for me, I'm like, well, how do I stay connected, Lord? I want to be with you all the time. You know, if you're going to bless me like this, I want to hold hands throughout the day and never let go. And because it's a conviction, it's saying, I know that you love me. And so, yeah, I have a few more scriptures.